Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In this new spiritual fiction, The Attenuating Puritan by Robert McGinnis, you embark on a contemplative journey with our altruistic hero, a reflection of purity in words and deeds, yet occasionally marked by ancestral toxins. With unwavering conviction, he dances under the world's weight, marching into the unknown, his step marked by hope and staunch faith. Robert McGinnis was born in Bayshore, New York, graduated from Smithtown High School in 1972, made his way to the West Coast in 1976, and has made Northern California his home ever since. He's enjoyed being a back-to-the-lander and lived remotely off-grid. Currently, he's involved with the Oak Restoration Project, an association of the Josephine Porter Institute for Applied Biodynamics, and a member of the North American Lily Society. When not busy, he writes and studies and enjoys music. Also the author of Drop Calls, which we've discussed here on This Week in America. We welcome back author Robert McGinnis, his newest book, the mystical fiction, The Attenuating Puritan. Robert, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us again.
A pleasure to be here with you, Ray.
I always like your books and your approach to things, and we talked about it with Drop Calls. You've done it again with The Attenuating Puritan. What inspired you to write this book? What themes do you hope to explore in the story?
Well, I think you could look anywhere and find the themes in the story. When you look at the world that we live in today, it's really hard to put the angst from all the different sources onto a page. You know, when we look at the food not being proper and the water not being good and how many especially children are on medications these days, and just the state of the condition, you know, and I wanted to make a character that was navigating through multiple issues and still not looking to put blame anywhere, still looking to do the best he could in his faith. So that's what I tried to put together, was a Puritan that has issues because of the world that he lives in.
Boy, and there are so many problems that you address. You mentioned some I tackled in the book, The Attenuating Puritan by Robert McGinnis. His website is robertmcginnisbooks.com. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can get more information and order both of the books there. And there's really good information available there on Robert's website. Let's talk a little bit more about the protagonist's journey. What drives his quest to restore the splendor of Eden? Where does this come from?
Well, I think it comes from his upbringing and his childhood and his being taught his beliefs early on. I mentioned early in the book that he had issues and they put him on psych meds. And he was maybe a little autistic, maybe a little ADHD, maybe a little obsessive compulsive. And so he may have gotten stuck in his belief system and singled out a single focus and then wasn't able to break free of it. So I think his entire life or his entire journey was driven by his teachings in his childhood, and then a combination with the medications that he was put on that kind of maybe we might say arrested development at that point. You know,
yes.
he never strayed from who he was, and it was a good thing that his belief system was in place because he stayed true to his faith. But we might look at it as arrested development.
Our guest is Robert McGinnis, back with us on This Week in America, talking about his new book, The Attenuating Puritan, book available wherever books are sold. Robert's website, robertmcginnisbooks.com. While there, you can get information and order Drop Calls as well. If you're watching the video version, Skype version with Robert, you'll see the books book covers in the background. And both those are now available, and you can order wherever, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or from Robert's website as well. How does your personal background and experiences shape your writing and the themes you explore in your work? Is some of your childhood, some of you in the story?
Well, it's very interesting because most of the places in the story are real. And some of them I've been to, many of them I haven't. All of the people are fictitious. But a lot of what I wrote about is I didn't experience firsthand, and I may have witnessed it. I was brought up Catholic, but at the same time, I was never on psych meds. And in my day, there weren't many kids that were put on medications like they are today.
Yes.
So for me to observe this, this is more in recent history that I've observed children being put on psych meds and then maybe even getting a little older. And I found many of them were confused and unable to make decisions. And that kind of bothered me. And to see so many of them, I think they say now 25% of the Americans are on these types of medications. And I really found that it's a horrific number. And then it made me wonder what's going on in the environment that we have this amount of people that need to be on medications. You know, there has to be something underlying that. There has to be a root cause of it. You know, and we can look at lots of different issues. You know, is alcohol is a big one, drugs are a big one. But I think that we also have lots of different types of proto-oncogenes that are being expressed, maybe due to technologies and things like that, that could not help a child develop properly. And I think that's where we end up with these tics and these the mass amounts of people that need medications at this point. And we're not trying to fix anything. We're just trying to quiet them, you know, so we don't have to deal with them, you know. And you know, that's kind of like a compassionless way to deal with it, you know. And I know there's great people out there working on great solutions, but as a society as a whole, we really want to put these kids away and quiet them down and not have them interrupt our workaday world.
It's such a thought-provoking book, The Attenuating Puritan by Robert McGinnis, book available wherever books are sold. Again, robertmcginnisbooks.com, a great place to get information, order the book there as well. The book description mentions ancestral toxins. Can you explain what you mean by this and how it relates to the protagonist character?
Well, when I say ancestral toxins, you know, I believe that was someone commenting on my book that actually wrote that. The fact is that we were in the footsteps of our parents and our grandparents. And since we went through the mechanical age and then we entered the industrial age and each one of those industries that is catering to the 8 billion people on the planet right now create a lot of waste, you know, and not just waste, because there's ways to deal with clean waste, but toxic waste. So when we're building weapons and when we're doing things like that, we really have a lot of casualties that are not war related, but they're industry related. And those are the toxins that I was talking about is, you know, is when we were mining, we were leaving tailings in the rivers. And a lot of those were highly toxic, you know, and you can take any product that's mass manufactured right now and realize that it has a downside to it as well. So those are the kinds of things that I was talking about.
Robert McGinnis, our guest, the book is The Attenuating Puritan. What role does spirituality play in your writing and how does it influence the creative process that you go through?
That's a really good question. And, that might be tough to answer. You know, I feel like we're all spiritual creatures.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of times when we look at, you know, what the Puritan says several times in the book is The struggle is not to survive. The struggle is not to kill. And if you think about that in terms of not killing the smallest and what we would consider the most insignificant life forms, if we try not to kill those, we really embrace our spirituality. And, you know, that has to do with washing your hands and using bug sprays and all those things that you just do on a daily basis. You know, I think we need to look at the life itself as what is sacred and embrace all those other life forms, even if we're not uncomfortable with them. But I think that is really the real spirituality, if we embrace all of those different life forms and remove ourselves from the pedestal we've put ourselves on. I think that's how we really thank God for the lives we were all given.
Yes. So important, this book and the thought process that Robert goes through in writing it, and what your response will be as a reader, and how you take the attenuating Puritan and take the lessons in there and use those in real life. Good news, I understand, Robert. The book's now available in 18 countries, so this is going to be something that's going to be touching people literally worldwide.
Well, I believe that the publishers and Amazon are willing to ship it to all of the countries in the world. What happened recently is that we had a press release that expanded 18 countries, so it should get a little secondary nudge, you know, maybe yes, even a tertiary nudge. And I really want to reach out to the rest of the world and tell them to join in on the quest to make the Garden of Eden pristine and embrace all of the life, and encourage your local book dealers to get translations so you can share it with your neighbors and your fellow humans.
It's so important that this is a universal movement and get everybody working on the same page with the same goal, and we all benefit from doing that. As someone who has lived off the grid, how do you think your experiences with nature have influenced your writing and the themes that you explore? What impact has off the grid had on you as a person, you as a writer?
That's another really good question. To tell you the truth is, you know, we had an accident in my family and I was forced to move into town. But before that is I rarely lived on the grid. You know, I enjoyed my time in the woods. To me, all of it was sacred. And I try to carry that with me. You know?
Yes. A very important part of who you are. And Robert's writing this book, The Attenuating Puritan, Drop Calls, was the first book, and we talked about that. You'll find that interview in our archives, and you can Google it and find it as well. And I'll get information on both books on Robert's website. Tell us more about the Oak Restorations Project and how it relates again to your writing and your interest. What is that all about?
Well, that's an interesting part of my life right now. Is I have some property, and it was an idea that I had on my own, was to restore the property. And we look at restoration as maybe it's not actually what we want to believe that it was. Maybe, you know, is, you know, the idea of restoring it to the Garden of Eden might not actually be accurate. But for years, the Native Americans could live on the land, and they could eat acorns, and they could eat the lupin, and they could eat manzanita and things like that. And as we went into a more money-based economy, the oaks became a byproduct of it, and the forests were turned into lumber machines, and a lot of Douglas fir in particular was grown as timber, which is great strength, tensile strength for building. It's a fine tree, but it overshadowed the oak savannas that they called them. And the oak savannas had not only the food available on the ground level, but it had intermediate levels such as the berries, the manzanita berries and the lupins and stuff. And then it had food from the canopy. And the Indians managed this property and got all their food off of it. When the furs are gone and there's no dense, dark woods, the animals come out. And when there's acorns for them to eat, then we have more game in the first place. But take the game out of the picture, and the acorns themselves are a tree that was here, as far as we know, man was here for 12 to 20,000 years ago, and he ate off of those trees. They're fireproof. They don't need irrigation. They produce year after year, and it's a sustainable way for peoples to live on the land. The fir forests don't provide the food, nor do they provide the food for animals. So you end up with a deep, dark woods with nothing to eat. And then you need to cut the woods and go to town and buy some processed food and you know, return to your homestead. So it just makes so much sense for the land, as in the Garden of Eden, should be producing, and we should be able to eat that food without much ado.
Well, a certainly worthwhile project, and it'll be interesting to watch the progress of that as we talk to Robert over a period of time. You've got so much going on. How do you balance your various interests and pursuits? Writing, studying, music, then you inspire, you inform in your books. How do you balance all of this?
You know, all of that is highly motivated and highly driven by my search for my own identity. And for the last 38 years, I've been a caretaker for my son who was injured in a motor vehicle accident. You know, and he's doing really well now, but I still am the primary person that cooks the food and that does the laundry and that cleans the house and all those other things. So instead of being the caretaker for my entire life, I needed to create a life of my own, so to speak. And that's what really got me into writing. And first I was writing little poems and then little short stories. And then I was thinking it would be really nice if I wrote something that had value. And then I really started directing my thoughts towards that.
And you've created value in the two books, Drop Calls, and the book we're talking about on the program today, The Attenuating Puritan by Robert McGinnis, the author, our guest on the program. His website, robertmcginnisbooks.com. Direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This book is so well done and touches so many different topics of importance. How do you hope readers will take away, what do you hope the readers will take away from the Attenuating Puritan? And what do you hope the biggest surprise, maybe revelation, will be to the reader because of the book?
That's a tough call because I touch on so many different things.
Yes.
And on so many different things, I think that it's going to affect almost every reader differently. And I think that's good. But what we're trying to do is elicit a little bit of social change. So is if we just consume a little bit less, if we clean up a little bit more, if we're conscientious of all the small life, you know, is Roundup is one of those things. Is they've been in billion-dollar lawsuits, and the product is still on the market. And we've found that it causes cancer, and it shouldn't be there, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, if you're going to, you know, try to keep your lawn green, just be aware of the long-term consequences and the consequences, not just to your neighbor and the guy down the street, but to your children and your grandchildren. That's what's really important here, is because this is not sustainable. And if we're not addressing and thinking in the long term, not only our grandchildren, but our great-grandchildren, can we really see that future from here?
it gives us so much to think about. And you, again, you touch on so many topics in the book, the attenuating Puritan to think about and hopefully to take action. As you look back on your life and your career, the life experience and the experiences that you have, what advice would you give to a younger you if you knew then what you know now and use that? What would that have been like to have that knowledge? There wasn't a Robert McGinnis to lead us then, but we have that now. What if you could have used a Robert McGinnis, I guess, early on is what I'm saying.
You know what is, when they talk about writers in Ireland, is a lot of times you needed to be in your mid-60s. And you needed to be studied. You needed to know the trees, and you needed to know the symbolism, and you needed to know the rocks and the symbolism. And it's most people didn't live to 65 back then, you know. So you're talking about someone who has wisdom of a lifetime,
yes,
at your disposal. And I think that that's really what I needed before I was ready to say anything. You know, so I don't think there was a time earlier that I could have gotten to where I am now.
You know, it's interesting when you say that. I think back, and if I were to talk to my younger self would go, yeah, right. You know, that pretty much, that's it. You need the experience, the perspective, and there's a value to having some level of maturity in my case, a lot of maturity in your case, and wisdom. Robert, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. This conversation was based on The Attenuating Puritan by Robert McGinnis. That's McGuinness. Important because his website is robertmcginnisbooks.com. Books also available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. I'd like to thank kingpagespress.com, the author's marketing consultant, for arranging our conversation once again with Robert today. And if you go to the website, a lot of great information there as well, or you can order the books and drop calls. Take a look at that. This is a book you're going to want to, and try to find our last interview when Robert talked about that. Robert, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. What are you working on now? Do you have another book in process?
I do, actually. And maybe it's a little off of what I usually do, but I'm examining the truth. And I'm examining the truth as it relates to, which I'm not even supposed to go there, but it's the truth in politics. And I have a young boy that I say he's the boy with the frangible lens, and he grew up and his eyes were cracked and everything he looked at was broken. And he just took it as normal and didn't see it as broken. But at any rate, he goes, he's going to go through another long journey, and we're going to find out that everywhere he looks, you know, from the pharmacies to the food stores, to the politics, is if the truth isn't the foundation of the society has no ability to stand and to sustain. And we really need to think deep about that, because we've lived with lies for too long. And, you know, I mean, from the, you know, saying the oath or saying a prayer or trusting in God or the value of a dollar or the weight of a product, is if the trust isn't in any of those things, we don't have anything. You know, so one person or a couple of people can't just start undermining the value of the truth as it relates as the standard,
yes,
of all things that were built off of it, you know, and now we have the ability to sway the Senate or the Congress or the Supreme Court or justice itself. And is it, like I said, as if we don't shore up the meaning of the value of truth, we have no future.
It sounds like a fascinating read, and I'm looking forward to that and hopefully having a discussion about that as well. I always like the books, the approach that you take. You get us thinking when it's over with, and I love that. Drop Calls, the first book. This book, The Attenuating Puritan, Robert McGinnis, our guest. The website, robertmcginnisbooks.com. Robert, as always, a pleasure. Please stay in touch. Love to do it again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
a pleasure talking with you, Rick, and I really look forward to being here again, and thank you for everything you do.
It is our pleasure. Roger McGinnis, this book is The Attenuating Puritan, available wherever books are sold, including robertmcginnisbooks.com. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.